This episode of A Few Things with Claire and Erica is brought to you by Bed Bath & Beyond. Hit them up at bedbathandbeyond.com or go to one of their many stores.
I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And I'm Mary Izette.
From The Bed Body. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. Welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, our podcast.
This is Erica.
This is Erica over there. This is Claire.
She pointed at me and then said, "This is Erica," as if a listener to a podcast might know what that meant.
This is our podcast where we talk about all of our favorite things.
Yes.
What's on our mind.
It is based on a newsletter that we send every Monday called 10 Things. It is 10 of our favorite discoveries, everything from recipes to beauty products to apps.
You can sign up for the newsletter at ofakind.com, where you can also buy limited edition products from emerging fashion and home designers, as well as so many of our favorite beauty products.
Tons of them.
And paper goods.
Also.
Our shop is killing it right now. We have so much good stuff. Like, I go to the website and I think there's so much stuff on here I want.
That is such a good feeling.
It is. I mean, it's not that I don't always feel that way, but I sometimes feel that way more than others. You know, you stare
right
at the stuff so much.
But right now, we just have so many more product categories
than
we've ever
had.
So it just is like filling our hearts and our lives more.
It was a really fulfilling feeling to be able to be like, if I were just coming to this site as an outsider, I would have a really hard time whittling my cart down to a reasonable size. It was a good feeling.
But the great news is it's free shipping over $150, so you're better off not.
Oh my God, you're such a good marketer.
Thanks. Okay, so a couple of things we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
First one, ice cream. Let's just get right into it.
We're talking about ice cream in February, in part because that was the best idea we could come up with. But I'm
number
not gonna
one.
I have been eating a lot of ice cream lately, and here's why. Chris and I did dry January, which usually in like we cut out alcohol and add a lot of dessert into the mix because why not?
You want to keep your calorie count
the
same.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
It's always just like you want some sort of a treat. And if it's not going to be ice cream or if it's not going to be alcohol.
Well, because you're not a huge dessert person. You can pass on dessert.
I can. I mean, the thing I always say is I always want to see the menu.
Yeah.
I always want to know what my options are.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if I have a really good cocktail, I don't need dessert. And
right.
I go through phases. You know, I think probably everybody is like this. We're like, if you start having sweets at the end of every meal, then you crave them at the end of every meal.
And it starts to become part of your like pattern.
Yeah,
you're like a lab rat.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But if I cut it out, then I'm fine without it. But what happened was January, I cut it back in because I was like, if I'm not going to have a glass of wine, I would like a bowl of ice cream. And so we've been really surveying the supermarket ice cream offerings.
I think that ice cream is an all season
totally
dessert, and that anybody who thinks ice cream is a summer thing will shame on them.
That's right. That is right. Okay, so let's start with the best supermarket ice cream because that's most relevant to people across the globe and who are listening to
across
this.
The globe.
I was going to say across the nation, but we're an international empire.
Totally. So where do we start?
Well, here's where we start. And this is actually where we also divide, which is I don't think you can be a Haagen-Dazs person and a Ben & Jerry's person. I think you can appreciate both, but I think your loyalties.
Well, I think that's fair. I think that there are two camps of ice cream in general. There's like the Haagen-Dazs camp of ice cream and the Ben & Jerry's camp of ice cream.
See, but I like a lot of goodies in my ice cream, which would make you think that I'm a Ben & Jerry's person.
But of course!
But Ben & Jerry's ice cream just is not as good of a product as Haagen-Dazs. Like, it's just not as good ice cream.
Yeah. No, here, I don't disagree
with you. And which is why, by the way, Haagen-Dazs caramel cone is one of the best ice creams at the supermarket because it's got a lot of crap in it. But it's Haagen-Dazs quality ice cream.
I think that Ben & Jerry's is better at putting crap in ice cream.
Nobody is touching their game when it comes to just putting anything in ice cream.
Anything. Well, I think there's someone who's touching it. We'll get to that later. But
yes.
It's not at the supermarket.
Yeah, right.
I think Haagen-Dazs is better ice cream for sure.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to buy vanilla ice cream, I'm for sure going to buy Haagen-Dazs.
Well, and you're also specifically going to get vanilla bean. Just pro tip. I don't think most people know this.
Obviously, have to buy vanilla bean.
But don't get... I don't know why Haagen-Dazs offers
both. What ice cream did you eat?
Oh, chocolate chip.
From what brand? Haagen-Dazs.
Oh, we're a Haagen-Dazs family through and through.
When you were a child, you were.
100%. I mean, we got Ben and Jerry's sometimes, but my dad.
No, but we didn't. We got Breyers. Breyers vanilla bean.
No, my dad's super. This is where I got my loyalty from. My dad feels really strongly about certain products. I've probably talked about this before, like Hellman's mayonnaise, great Steve Mazur approved product. Haagen-Dazs vanilla bean ice cream, great Steve Mazur approved product. I, growing up, my brother and I always went for chocolate chip because if you're a Haagen-Dazs family, you don't get all that junk. You don't get all the fun stuff.
It's like the Lucky Charm. You want
and chocolate chip is basically as close as you're going to get. Because this was before they introduced vanilla Swiss almond, which is really good, and caramel cone, which is also excellent.
I prefer Haagen-Dazs for like the pure flavors, and then I prefer Ben and Jerry's for all the crap.
That's fine. I like that.
My husband
cone
is
thing.
A huge the Ben core. And Jerry's. Oh, the core. Where there's like a tube of caramel down the middle.
It's pretty
of the
fantastic.
Ice cream. It's pretty fantastic. It is.
Yeah. I have respect for what Ben and Jerry's does.
We found out the other day when we were brainstorming this that we've both been to the Ben and Jerry's factory in Vermont,
and Liz, our editor, was like, "You're not special. Everybody's been to the Ben and Jerry's." Like, parents run out of family trip ideas, and that's where they go. So we've all been.
Free samples.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you're going to take your kid to an ice cream factory if you can. we all got the T-shirts.
But related to Ben and Jerry's, mm-hmm. We both were obsessed with this article in the Times earlier this year about Ben and Jerry's. And mm-hmm. who are they owned by now? Why can I not?
It's like a giant food conglomerate, basically.
And how they've basically shaped that company from the inside and really changed their corporate culture because of the way that Ben & Jerry's thinks about its brand and its product.
Because Ben & Jerry's is this very politically minded company that and liberal, and started as really a small business. It was really dedicated to using, you know, only the highest quality, environmentally sound products to make their packaging and also their ice cream. And so when they were bought by this giant, like, global corporation, they at first didn't want to do it. And then... and then when they did agree to it, were able to affect change in a shocking way. It's such a good article. We'll post it. It was fascinating for us because we sold our business. We sold our small indie business to a corporation. And
it was inspiring.
It was inspiring. And we had the same thought. Like, we saw, you know, we were like, we think that this can be a really good fit and that we can make this work. And lo and behold, somebody else who was even more of an unlikely fit had made it work.
Completely. Something I just remembered about Haagen-Dazs, that word is completely made up. It means nothing. Did you know that?
I did.
It's
I think we talked about it
branding.
Recently. It's great. Because it sounds elite. Because it sounds German.
Yeah. And it came out in, I think, the 80s, maybe? Yeah. I should have Googled this. But it basically, it sounded European and like, you know, a fancy dessert company.
I want to give a shout out to Talenti, who entered the supermarket scene recently, and they have a really fantastic coconut flavor if you're into coconut ice cream.
They have a good blood orange flavor.
Ooh, I haven't tried that. I don't really get down with citrus flavored ice creams.
I don't typically.
It feels
their
like
blood
healthy
orange...
ice cream to me, and I'm like, no, thank you.
Our friend Kate has served mm-hmm. their blood orange to me multiple times, and it's very good.
Okay,
And I really like their vanilla. Gelato in an affogato.
Oh, they have Tahitian vanilla bean.
Tahitian.
They tried to one up Haagen-Dazs. Yeah, they're like, "Oh, you have a vanilla bean. We have
got
a Tahitian one." Yeah.
It's very good in an affogato, which I make with an espresso machine. And it's like the easiest, by the way, dinner party dessert that there ever is, because it takes 35 seconds.
If you have an espresso machine.
If you have an espresso machine. Or some sort of like espresso answer.
Or you
in
could
your
just,
house.
You know, fire up your Krups and pour it into everybody's
That's
cup.
That's right.
You make ice cream sometimes.
I do make ice cream sometimes. I have an ice cream maker. I'll do it in like stints.
This just reminded me.
What?
Do you remember? I haven't thought about this in so long. You were going through a big ice cream making phase, and I got jealous. And my mom and I was like talking to my mom about it.
Oh,
and she
I
was
do
like,
remember this.
She was like, "I have an ice cream maker in the basement that I never use. Do you want it?" And I was like, "Totally." And she sent my dad, when he was in New York one day, to stop by the office to drop it off. And I
It's like commercial grade.
It's like 30 pounds. It's also from the 70s. And so it's like ice cream maker technology has come so far. And I lug this thing
up. In 50 years. Yeah, it has.
And it was so giant. It was so heavy. And you looked at me. You were like, "Claire, my ice cream maker was like $30.
Yeah.
She's like, "You can totally afford to buy a new one." And I was like, "Oh, okay."
So my ice cream maker is a Cuisinart.
Mine was too. Or this
no,
one.
I'm sure. It was just vintage.
It was a vintage.
Mine was a Cuisinart, and it's one where you put the bowl in the freezer. And so you have to just keep the bowl in the freezer. Otherwise, you're never going to make ice cream.
Right.
That's the trick.
Okay.
And then once you have the ice cream batter, they call it, ready, like chilled, you dump it in the machine and then you turn the machine on and, and whirl it. So that's how it works.
Got it.
But the easiest, I went through an ice cream making phase where you're actually like doing the eggs and the cream and combining them and whisking them and, you know, straining them and all of that. When you don't feel like you have 3 hours of your life to make ice cream, the answer is this homemade frozen Greek yogurt. From the book The Perfect Scoop, and we will link to it. It's only three ingredients. It's like Greek yogurt, sugar, and vanilla, and that's the show.
Could you add other stuff if you wanted, like lemon or something?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I don't... Probably, but I would add it. Yeah, I would... lemon is like a bit of a tricky thing, but I'm sure you could add lemon curd in at the end and swirl it in. So you can... when you
Oh my God, you could totally add chocolate chips.
Yeah, totally. So basically, when you add those things in, once you're swirling it and it gets to a certain consistency, that's when you add that crap to get... chocolate chips or fillings or whatever.
You also make, not with an ice cream machine, a sort of, I don't even know, it's more of like a granita almost from the prune cookbook.
Yes, that thing is, it's a good ice cream substitute. Yeah. It is called Milk Punch. and it has brandy in it, or could have brandy in it. I think I put port in it instead. And it's just...
Well, what was amazing about it is because it has the alcohol, you still get that ice cream consistency.
It doesn't freeze solid because the alcohol prevents it.
Yeah. That was really delicious.
Speaking of things that don't freeze solid, scoops. So you're like, wow, what is this transition?
I didn't even know we were talking scoops.
Well, I thought about it today.
It's not in my show notes, but it is important.
I thought about it today, and I was thinking about that. I have two scoops, and I was like, I wonder if people like these scoops. So the one I have that I was thinking of is the Zarol ice cream scoop. It's like the really classic looking shape, and that the handle is filled with some sort of, I don't want to call it antifreeze, it's, but it's like some sort of liquid that prevents freezing, that helps melt the ice cream when you scoop it out. It was given to me as a housewarming present. It's a very good housewarming present.
I've been given an ice cream scoop as a housewarming present, also from our friend Kate.
Yes, same.
I think there was a cute pun that went with it. I cannot remember.
Probably.
Yes.
And the one tricky thing is you can't put this thing in the dishwasher, which you need to remember.
You can't really put... I have ruined actually a number of scoopers putting them in the ice cream. I don't know what the type of metal
it's,
is. But
exactly.
You,
it's like aluminum or something.
Yeah, you can't put it in. I really like my ice cream scooper and I can't remember.
It's an OXO Good Grips. I looked it up. It's an OXO Good Grips.
It's because it has a little notch that helps...
Pops it out.
That pops it out, which I really like. And I know that Thomas disagrees with me on this.
He doesn't like that one as much. We also have that one. But the internet likes both of them. The internet thinks these are basically two of the best ice cream scoops there are.
So between the two of us, we're
covered.
We've
nailed it.
Yeah,
yeah.
We've really gotten this.
Okay, so back to non-scoops.
Yes. Should we just list off all of the really fancy, bougie, best ice cream spots that we go to?
Let's do it.
We love Ample Hills in Brooklyn.
Ample Hills, yes. You guys. It is so good.
And this, I imagine, is who you think steps to Ben and Jerry's.
This is who I think. I think Ben and Jerry's better watch it.
Yeah, they're stepping.
Unilever better watch it. I think that's who owns them.
Yes.
Because Ample Hills is so good. And
it is really good. It's so decadent. And
they put so much crap in their ice cream. There is one called Commodore's. I think it's Commodore's Palace. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. That has... honeycomb candy, like chocolate covered potato chips. It's like so
it'll
much.
Rip your teeth out.
Yeah, it's so good.
The other Brooklyn and New York in general also has Van Leeuwen, which I don't love
it's
everything
more
they
does.
Do. It's more
Haagen-Dazs. And I say as I raise my eyebrows.
Yeah, you're like giving. I don't. It is more. It is the Haagen-Dazs to Ample Hills, Ben and Jerry. But there are certain flavors that are not that good. But to get back. They have the best coconut ice cream
they do
I've
have
ever had in my
coconut
life.
Ice cream.
It is fantastic.
And their honeycomb ice cream is really good,
I
too.
Haven't
and
tried
honeycomb
it.
Ice cream in general is delicious, and people should be eating a lot more of it.
One by my parents' house in Delaware, Woodside Farm Creamery. You stare at the cows that you that have produced the milk that made your ice cream while you eat
it's
it.
It's really charming.
Yeah, Eric and I went there one time after visiting. We had a meeting at the QVC headquarters and then a meeting with my wedding planner. And we stopped on the way.
I was a plus one to that wedding planner meeting because it felt like there needed to be an outsider.
It was important. The other one in Philadelphia, Capogiro, is very popular. Really good. Grom has recently moved to, well, not even that recently. They've been around for a while now. It's an Italian gelato company that is has a couple locations in New York.
Jenny's is a huge business.
Jenny's
is
huge.
People. Yeah. And based in Ohio, which is nice.
Yeah. Byright in San Francisco.
Totally.
Yeah.
there's a company called Milkmaid that delivers in New York.
And it's also really good.
Ships to the Northeast now. So that's a good present for like a birthday or something.
That's the place where I got that insane ice cream sandwich, right?
No, that's Hey Rosie. They're no longer. R.I.P.
Oh,
R.I.P. Hey Rosie.
Okay. Wait, we have to shout out the best ice cream topping that you discovered. Luxardo cherries.
Luxardo cherries.
Yeah, it's a really good
You got to be careful because those cherries are like $20 a jar. And you can dump an entire one.
Yeah.
And if you think that the ice cream you're buying is already expensive, let me tell you, if the topping outdoes it, yikes.
Yeah, I feel shameful about the amount of money I spend on ice cream, actually.
I think it's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's okay. And so, one last thing I wanted to say about delivery ice cream.
Oh yeah.
There is a Savor post that rounds up five locally, like, you know, made in America ice cream places that deliver by mail. We'll link to that too.
I'm going to look that up because one time I went to a dinner party, and this is like a question for our listeners, if anyone can help. One time I went to a dinner party, this was like in grad school, somebody I never have talked to ever since. And he served a coconut curry flavored ice cream that I have never been able to find again. It was so delicious.
I know what it is.
Do you?
It's Vosges.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
It was a question for my listeners or my business partner.
It's Vosges.
He topped it with pomegranate seeds.
Which is a Chicago-based
chocolate company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the purple one. You guys know what that is. Yeah.
I'm so thrilled about this. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was
I think Whole Foods
so
sells it.
That's where I remembered that he got it at Whole Foods. That was the only thing I remembered about it. And I could never, I used to live near a Whole Foods and would go look all the time for it. And I could never find it. This is so exciting. Top it with pomegranate seeds. It's delicious.
All right, we're going to go to commercial and we're going to spice things up after that.
So we've been shopping at Bed Bath & Beyond for a gazillion years, just like everybody else out there, at least as recently as college, which is when I can remember, because I remember running into my crush and his mom in the parking lot of Bed Bath & Beyond while we were both shopping for college things. But I think I've been shopping there even before then. It's good stuff.
It's a classic.
It is a classic.
But now that Of A Kind is part of the Bed Bath & Beyond family, Bed Bath & Beyonce, as we are trying to rebrand it.
Why not, though? It's a good one.
I feel like
Beyonce would be fine with it.
Totally.
She wouldn't ask for money at all.
Mm-mm. We've gotten to spend a lot more time exploring all of the crazy impressive products that the store carries, and we've honed in some of the greatest hit, the sort of timeless, classic, pretty stuff that we want filling our cabinets and our closets.
If you're not heading there for Japanese knives, for the Le Creuset Dutch ovens, for the Miele vacuums, for the Freta bedding, what are you doing?
What are you
doing? Get over there. They have all that stuff.
Yes. Get your butt to a store, stat.
And sign up for their newsletter, stat, because guess what? You get a 20% off coupon for a single item. Boom.
And we're back. And we have an amazing guest.
We do.
Well, you look so excited. And I was like,
I think we're both excited. I think we're both really excited.
Okay. I just want to say that this person is one of the nicest, sweetest, smartest people. Her name is Adina Grigore. She has a... Did I say it right?
Yeah,
that was good. The accent on the E.
It's
Thank
beautiful.
You. She has a line called SW Basics that is we can barely keep in stock on our site. We carry the oil serum, and it blows my mind.
So her entire line, all of the skincare products in her line are made with 5 ingredients or less, which means you don't have to look at a laundry list of garbage that you might be putting on your face and get worried about, like, what is that thing and what is that thing? Mm-hmm. And am I supposed to be scared of that? Basically,
you should do our marketing.
Well, and one of the things, it's 5 ingredients or less. It's also 5 ingredients you've heard of and probably might even have in your kitchen cabinet, which is one of the things I love about you. You're like, you can totally make some of this stuff, you know,
you
yourself.
Encourage that behavior. You encourage people to DIY and test. And can we talk a little bit about how you got into this game in the first place? Because I think that story is really interesting.
Yeah. Well, largely through DIYing, which is why it would be crazy now to go back to people and be like, no,
you have to buy things.
Yeah. But, you know, was making products and was working, had sort of a really separate career where I was talking to people a lot about nutrition, but I was making products for myself and realized super quickly that women particularly have skin problems their entire, like, we're obsessed with our skin, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But besides being obsessed with it, we're stressed about it all the time. And you kind of can't separate what you're using externally from what you're doing to yourself internally.
Yep.
And I realized super quickly, wow, well, the stuff that I'm doing in my kitchen, it does, like, women want to know.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily going to go do it.
Yeah.
And I got that really quickly, too, because as I was making stuff, I was like, this is the worst. This is so hard.
I've made one hair mask in my life, yeah. and that was enough
and
for me.
And you're like, and scene. Yeah. Like, I have done DIY. Yeah.
It's like, this was a funny Instagram.
I think that's really common. And so it kind of just made sense to go, well, if people trust me, and I think that they should, of mm-hmm. course, right? Like, I've put all this work into it. They should have products that are this clean available to them on the shelves. Because yeah. I think originally I thought, no, people really want something that's really complex or mm-hmm. technologically
they like that about
advanced.
It.
Yeah. And so how would we ever compete? And then I realized over and over and over hearing from women like, no, simpler would be, it would be nice to have that option.
And you've gotten feedback in a really big way. I mean, you're carried at Target. You have big accounts. It's not just, yeah. it's not just girls in Brooklyn who are into this. Man. It's like people in general.
It's right. such a big inspiration to us. You got picked up at Target a little bit before we did our Target collaboration. And what was so awesome about it is we've always said about what we do. Yeah, it's small and it's indie and it feels niche, but we think we can bring this to a mass audience right. and there's no reason that just people in Brooklyn should care about what we're doing. We think that this is something that all of America can and should respond to and have access to. And you did that. And it was so inspiring. You said, yes, it's in glass bottles and yes, it's a little more expensive and it's totally different than Clearasil or whatever. But that doesn't mean that
the same people aren't interested.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And that is so cool.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely scary. You kind of hold your breath, right? Because you're like, oh, wait, Brooklyn is different. As much as I resist admitting that, it really is. People here really get so much of this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you kind of, like, we had this second where we were like, oh, my God, is everyone else going to think that, too? And thank goodness. It's been amazing.
That's awesome.
So I read your book, Skin Cleanse, which is so great. And it gets into a lot of different DIY recipes and, you know, your sort of road here. And the first ingredient that really spoke to you was shea butter.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I realized super quickly that I had really rashy skin, itchy skin all the time, was breaking out, like bumps everywhere. And I realized this is from lotions. Mm-hmm. And I've tried lotion after lotion after lotion and just could not figure out, oh, I feel like I'm using something natural. Why is it not better?
Mm-hmm.
Realized, oh, emulsions are a problem for me.
Okay.
I mean, complex ingredient lists mm-hmm. are a problem for me, of course, as you can tell from the line. But also just, oh, this is an emulsion. It's water mixed with some kind of oil or some kind of butter and with a preservative. And I cannot have that combination on my skin. It just makes me freak out. I found shea butter to be super intimidating, but immediately was like, well, why isn't it? I see how scary it looks because it's like super
thick. It's very thick.
Oh my God. It's almost like wax,
daunting.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try it. Tried mm-hmm. it raw. I definitely think it's overwhelming raw. Like, I still won't use mm-hmm. it raw, but got in the kitchen and was like, I believe that I can basically marry this ingredient to a couple of other mm-hmm. things and make it less like intense, but really make it kind of do it, like pedestalize it versus hiding it at the bottom of an ingredient list.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the cream. Like, that's how I healed my skin. I was like, oh, you know, shea with coconut and olive oil. That's all you
Done.
Need.
So how much of making that mixture is also about how you mix it? Is it about whipping it?
It took me 2 years.
Oh my. Were you using a KitchenAid?
No, I was
That's what I imagine.
Oh my God, hand stirring.
Oh my God.
KitchenAid? I'm like even too lazy to clean a KitchenAid.
A hand mixer at least.
I know.
You know, an egg beater or something.
You would think.
Yeah.
No, oh my God. It was too, I mean, definitely got it pretty good. The simplicity does make it where you're like, that's good. I just kind of knew if it's grainy, people aren't going
to
believe in it if it's mm-hmm. at
it
least
to
not
feel
close.
Creamy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm competing with a pump lotion,
right?
Then
right. You got to give people something creamy.
Yeah, and it's interesting that from day one, I never thought we would be where we are now, but I think that's what I was kind of thinking of. If someone's like using Eucerin and buying mm-hmm. Eucerin at Target, how do you get them? This is already so different. It can't be so far leaps beyond that they're like, forget it. I'm not even putting that on my skin.
Can you just put my fears to rest? You do have a machine mixing it now, right?
Well, now we have people doing it for us. So they have crazy amazing machines.
Okay, good.
But like, they're not doing it by hand either.
That's what I wanted to know. No, I knew you weren't doing it, but I just wanted to make sure.
And you know
what's
so funny is we'll go and they'll do like, I think they can do 1,000 in an hour. And it makes me like emotional. Like I like get mad at them. I'm like, it's gonna take me like 4 weeks.
That's like incredible.
Upsetting, but beautiful. I'm like, thank God we could have never done this.
What are some of the other ingredients that spoke to you very early on?
I mean, definitely coconut oil, which now is so popular. But when I was first playing around, it was like crazy that you would take this food ingredient and put it on your skin.
Totally.
Right now it's like the hippest thing ever. Now people repackage it and just put it in
fancy jars.
Packaging. Yeah.
I remember reading, this was during the super, super model era, that when models were, you know, really poor, that they would always put olive oil on their skin in model apartments when they like couldn't afford it. And I remember thinking that was so insane. And now here I am and slathering myself in coconut oil 20 years later.
I mean, olive oil, too, I think doesn't get a lot of love, but is a really great, because a lot of people actually have reactions to coconut oil. So I'm always like, don't forget about olive. It's like so like the peasant ingredient, but I'm like, come on, it's
coconut
really
oil is the prom queen.
Yes, totally.
Totally. If you're sourcing these ingredients to put them on your body versus eat them, is there anything different that you need to look for?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say what you eat needs to be the highest quality, which maybe goes against what you would think a skincare person would be saying, but it's like internally you're going to be a lot more effective than externally.
Yep.
I still am just always opting for like, try to find organic, try to find unprocessed. Remember that if something's refined, they've taken out a bunch of the stuff that's going to be good for your skin.
Thank you. That was my next question. There's so much hoopla around unrefined and refined, and I've always just wondered, actually, what's the difference?
Yeah. I mean, refined stuff can be a lot lighter, which is why people like it and which is why it's in a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But unrefined is where you're getting, like, fiber and, you know, like,
the good
unrefined
stuff.
Avocado oil is super thick. Mm-hmm. It'll solidify really easily. You guys know from the oil serum.
Yeah, totally.
It's really, really thick. Yeah. And refined, it's, like, pours out like water.
Right.
So it's like, what are, you know, they're taking out a lot of the stuff. Yeah.
So I remember, I mean, one of the first times we connected with you and we were talking to you about the Target thing, you said you were thought there was no way they would go for your line in a glass bottle and that you knew that you couldn't sacrifice that, but this was such an anomaly. So why is it so important to you to have glass bottles and why aren't more people using them besides the fact that they're heavy and break?
Oh my gosh. They're heavy. They break. They're super expensive.
Okay.
I mean, the beauty industry has insane profit margins.
Yeah.
That's like as simple as it is, right? Like what we're typically buying costs them virtually nothing to make. Mm-hmm. And that's largely in the case of the packaging.
Okay.
I mean, we're probably paying 4 times as much as if we were to put it in plastic.
But why is it worth it?
I think it's important for 2 reasons. It's significantly more sustainable.
Yes.
And I always just felt like it was weird. I'm not going to start a company where I'm thinking about sustainability a lot and then going, like, we've been pushed towards plastic by virtually everyone in our supply chain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but that's so weird. It doesn't match what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I do think there's just, I don't like to like freak people out. Mm-hmm. It plastic leaches into, we've seen like the stuff that's going on with water, and skincare sits in there way longer, right? You're maybe going to put it on your shelf for 2 years. We have a pretty good shelf life. Mm-hmm. So that freaked me out. And I think it just felt really like, I want to do everything I can to make the products as good as they are.
Yep.
So for example, it also does, it partly aids our shelf life because plastic makes, that's one of the reasons they have to add preservatives is to fight off the plastic spoiling.
Interesting. Speaking of shelf life, you know, you always assume that these products would have to have preservatives and that if you were just going to have your toner, right, that is made with apple cider vinegar. What else is in it?
Witch hazel.
And then
a few essential oils.
You would assume that that would last a year or something. Why does it last so long?
So I feel like I'm a little bit of a witch. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. It's really weird. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Like a good witch, though.
Oh, yes. I think witches are having a moment and definitely in a good
way. Okay, great.
Yes. Yeah.
Because when I was trying it out, I don't have a chemistry background. I knew about food. Like, I was like, wow, apple cider vinegar has an insane shelf life.
Yeah.
You just shove it in your cabinet. It's good forever. Witch hazel doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. I need to dilute the apple cider vinegar with a little bit of water. essential oils also crazy long shelf life. Yeah. I really believe if I put this stuff together in the right proportions, it will preserve itself. And what's wild is we weren't able to actually test for shelf life for a while. That's like a really expensive thing.
I can imagine.
I mean, now it's like crazy. Now I look back and I'm like, oh my God, it's crazy how the stuff that people launch and they're just like, it'll be fine.
I hope it works.
Yeah. But now we've had them tested and the full line is 2 years. And I think that's awesome. Just from this like simplicity and this sort of, I mean, I think this not so much witchy as like common sense that I really was looking at it and going, I think
you're
apple cider vinegar.
That's another BuzzFeed quiz.
You're a
is this
witch.
Sciencey or witchy? Yeah.
There we
or
go.
Both.
There we go. And did you guess either way?
Yes. Do you have to be concerned when you're using any products about contaminating the product with your own germs?
So yes, and that's the case even for the preserved ones.
Yeah.
So this is a really tricky area with packaging too, right? Is it's a lot of the reason that custom packaging is designed so you can't get your hands in it.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be concerned for a really long time. So it takes months and months and months mm-hmm. for bacteria to actually become a problem. I mean, think about your toothpaste touching your toothbrush,
that
right?
Makes sense.
That happens over and over. You would need to have it around, I would say, longer than 2 years for it to start to be kind of like
an issue.
It doesn't even get dangerous, like the chances of it being dangerous. Like I would say worst case scenario is a staph infection. How often do you really hear about people?
But
that's
when you
scary,
do, it's
but
terrifying.
It is the
You're
scariest.
Like, and then that person died.
I know. And this is why it's like we take it super seriously.
Do you guys
right?
remember like, when Rosie got a staph infection and couldn't be on The View for months? God.
Kind of.
Because that was when I got really scared of staph infections.
Oh my gosh. Think about it, but not go crazy.
Well, one of the reasons that Erica asked this question is because I have a thing with coconut oil where Erica's convinced it's my pH, but I swear it goes rancid immediately or just smells funny.
And you're like reaching into the jar?
Yeah. Should I be using a spoon?
And it smells like a little, I'll let you get into it, but it like smells like I've smelled it before.
Well, that one I hadn't even used yet. Remember that one? I just opened it for the first time.
Right.
That was a bad one.
Right.
Same brand, all from the same place.
No, this is the thing. And I was like, Erica, doesn't your coconut oil just go bad all the time? Am I exposing my like
That's
something
wild.
Terribly embarrassing?
No, I don't think so.
I just think it always goes bad. Maybe I just don't close it tightly enough or something. I don't know.
I'm gonna have to investigate.
Please do
investigate. I want to see like the brand and everything.
All right, back to DIY for the last couple of minutes. What is something that people could make for themselves if they had like 5 minutes and just wanted to like whip something up?
Ooh, good one. I mean, a lotion.
Yeah.
Lotion is so easy to do at home, particularly scenting.
Without an egg beater, even?
I did it. I shouldn't have.
Yeah,
well, I would say, like, solid coconut oil. Now people are probably stressed about their coconut oil, but you can even take solid shea butter and stir oil into it pretty slowly and get a lotion fairly quickly.
And it will look white and creamy like a lotion.
It will. It won't last as long, right? So these are, once you start to kind of, you can even do water, but you're gonna want to use it a little bit more quickly. But 5 minutes, totally, super easy in a bowl.
What's the deal with non-reactive bowls?
Yeah, see, this is the kind of thing
we're opening
where I'm
cans
like,
of worms.
Yeah.
Just opening
it's like,
and opening.
To me, that's getting like too far into the details.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, I like to use glass bowls.
Yeah.
It's like this, but I feel like it's as simple as that. Don't get too, don't be like,
don't overthink
shoot, can't
it.
Can't DIY.
Your...
Because,
but what is
yeah.
it? What does that even
bowl.
Mean?
It's
metal react.
Metal can, yeah, especially with essential oils. Plastic, too, with essential oils, they can like corrode the plastic.
Okay.
So definitely like be thoughtful. Mm-hmm. But I think for me with DIY, I'm always like, make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, I agree.
Or people just won't.
What if people want to DIY something and they're willing to spend 20 minutes on it and maybe buy an ingredient or two? What do you say?
I think shampoo is really fun. You can make a shampoo with clay in it. That's super.
What?
You
oh
know
gosh,
the.
I love that.
You know how people are into or brands are into selling these like clarifying shampoos.
Yes,
that's pretty easy to do at home. You just
really?
Have to put a little bit of love into it with like so you can take whatever shampoo you're using and add clay and baking soda, a couple essential oils,
amazing.
And it becomes this like super fluffy, thick, almost like a mask that you're applying to your hair. It's really nice.
That doesn't even feel like it would take that
long. I was going to say, it's not that complicated,
yeah,
right?
I love this.
I'm definitely really not into good. Anything that's like, oh, and then you're going to like, and then step two, put it in the fridge overnight
There's
and
no
then
step
pull
two.
It out. None of that.
Well, this actually begs a question that I've been wondering about. Do you think you'll ever get into hair products?
Of Of course.
Good.
Yes.
Good. All the things.
Amazing. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on, Adina.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I love you.
Check out SW Basics. Buy her book. It's awesome. It's a really easy,
it's called Skin Cleanse.
Yes. And it is. It just gets, especially if you've ever just had some nagging problem and you can't figure out, it's a skin problem specifically, and you can't figure out what it is, I think it's a good guide.
No, it's going to solve all of your problems.
And buy her face oil. Buy her face oil.
Yes.
It has coconut. No, I'm sorry. It has coffee oil and avocado oil in it, so I feel like it's like breakfast for your face. That's how I market it to myself.
I love that.
And
that's the show.
That's the show. Listen to us every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Heritage Radio Network. Download us on iTunes, Stitcher. Sign up for our newsletter at ofakind.com.
Buy all the things at ofakind.com.
Also, bye.
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.